You are welcome in this meeting. In our agenda today, we've got opening and welcome, apologies. We are expecting the briefing by the department on the policy around cooperatives. That is today. Honorable. But we don't expect that next week is going to be the same. We are going to loosen the belts and tighten the belts at some stage because of the circumstances that we are faced with. We were supposed to look at the minutes, but I request that we look at the minutes next week because I think the members have to look at the minutes thoroughly so that when we meet, we just deal with them once and for all. Our apologies, Secretary. Do we have apologies?
Morning, everyone. We've received the apology from Mom Pomen. She feels sick, and Mamu Pamubanya is also not feeling well. Mr. Bula is coming late today. And also one from Mam Hasbono. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary. Can we accept the apologies? And I understand that Honorable Siglan is going to, it is requesting to be released at 11. But I think by then we'll be finished. I don't think it will take much time. So can we accept the apologies? Mamu Jobe? Thank you very much. Who's seconding? Honorable Stolle. Thank you. Honorable, Mr. Matisse, you are leading the delegation today.
Yes, indeed.
Over to you. Thanks. Oh, I forgot that you must introduce yourself.
My name is Martin Matisa, and I'm leading the delegation today. We'll introduce ourselves briefly, starting with Mr. Sanevan.
Good morning, thank you, Chair. Good morning, Matthew. Thank you for the opportunity to engage with you once again. If you don't know me by now, you're in serious trouble, of course. My name is Louis van der Walt, and I'm the Director of Policy Development. Thank you very much.
Good morning, members. I'm Ingrid van Rensburg. I'm Section Witness of Van der Walt. Thank you.
Without any waste of time, I will ask Mr. Van Hendrik, Mr. Louis van der Walt to lead the discussion, and then immediately thereafter, I will take the question. Over to you, Mr. van der Walt.
Thank you, Mr. Mofisa. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope you find the presentation interesting. There are some interesting things about cooperatives that I didn't know when we first undertake our research into the cooperative environment, so hope that you will enjoy it. I've also developed an information piece that we've added into your pack And we hope that you can use that document as a point of reference whenever you deal with cooperative issues, something that you can take away with you. It will give you more detail on the presentation as well. First and foremost, let's quickly look at the definition of a cooperative. It is used to describe a group of people that voluntarily come together and then decide that they have a common need, and that they have, because of they have this common need, they could then pool their resources into a legal entity to achieve their needs and to address their needs through a democratically established legal entity then. If you look at a housing cooperative, then it would mean that it's people with a housing need that come together and establish this legal entity, and they work cooperatively towards the achievement of their goals. And therefore, one could argue that cooperative principles is then very much based on the Ubuntu basis of assistance and cooperation and working together to achieve development goals. Why would you then decide to go a cooperative route? Because you could achieve more as a collective than what you would be able to do when you are an individual person. So you could pool your state assistance subsidies, you work together, you can also save costs and so forth. So, and there lies the main objectives and advantages of a cooperative then, is that people are able then to work together, save money, have a communal goal, look after themselves in a democratic, participative way. So a cooperative will differ from other cooperatives in that it will follow the housing cooperative, that it will follow housing development objectives in order to achieve their own housing needs. Now, currently in South Africa, the following support structures are available. There's a Cooperatives Act through which you then apply to register a cooperative with the Register of Companies, and then you have a legal entity. The Social Housing Foundation has been established to look at cooperative and collective housing needs, and they then provide capacity building and assistance to enable the cooperative to proceed towards its goals. Then there's the African Housing Cooperative Association, which is an apex body, and I've indicated there that it unites, represents, and provides leadership to housing cooperatives throughout South Africa. The National Department has already, up to now, worked together with donor funders, and as you can see, we've linked up with the Norwegian government to provide donor funding for COPE, I think it was called COPE, to assist the sector to further the principle of cooperative housing in the country. Obviously, the provincial departments, they manage the housing funding, and therefore they will provide the housing assistance to the persons within a co-op that qualifies for subsidies, and they play a fundamental, important role. Then the Department of Trade and Industry then deals with the registration processes of cooperatives through the Act. Very importantly, municipalities, they are the providers of land, infrastructure, services, prioritizing developments, and that will be the first interface of a co-op to find out where the opportunities and where land is available for the developments that can be accessed. And international agencies is also, as I've indicated, busy in the country, not only the Norwegian ones, but the Root of Canada, the Cooperative Housing Foundation, the National Cooperative Housing Union, and the Swedish Cooperative Center, which all gave funds to assist cooperative housing in the country up to now. If you look at the success factors, this refers to what is required for a cooperative to survive and to come to an existence. First and foremost, there must be recognition at provincial level as well. And within the policy, that there is a need and the contribution that can be made by cooperatives
before they can find any assistance from us to address their housing needs. There's legislation required to regulate the registration of the legal entity. There's a regulatory agency required to provide regulatory assistance and advice, and these are normally a combination of private and public sector partnerships, and they will then facilitate the regulation of this environment. Obviously, housing finance is a very important aspect of a cooperative success. First of all, you would need a bank to receive the deposits, which is savings towards achieving the goal before the cooperative is actually embarking on the development. And then there's the loan requirements, which basically are currently being provided by the NHFC. And you need these, of course, the subsidy don't pay for the whole capital cost, of course, only a percentage of the building development cost is financed by the subsidy. And then if you don't have qualifying beneficiaries, those people cannot qualify for subsidies, and their funding will have to come from the credit side. So it's important that we do have then retail funding available for them. Technical advising services, it's a very critical aspect because in our country the concept of cooperative housing is quite new. Only here and there that you find these things have happened. And in that knowledge gap, you need the technical support organizations to provide the services, access to the subsidies, help with the regulatory aspects and establishment and regulation requirements, registering your entity and so forth. So they play a very important role. The principles upon which a cooperative is then built, first and foremost, it's run on democratic principles. Each member to a cooperative have one vote. That member may leave or join as he wish. The security of tenure is not through ownership, but through the shareholding basis. You acquire a right to occupy a unit. The ownership remains within the registered entity's name. And then obviously, if a housing co-op have a little business on the side, then the members also benefit from the economic activities and the fruit that is bred from that economic activity. A cooperative is independent from outside interference because it's a closed unit. It builds on the skills of its members and vice versa. Participation in a cooperative will also build the skills of the members so they don't only bring skills, but they can also be capacitated in the process. You would also find in a lot of cases that cooperatives work together amongst each other to achieve their various goals. And then if you're part and parcel of this cooperative, you start caring for your community, for the youth, for the people that will take over, and perhaps more social objectives may also come to the fore within a cooperative. Your membership your membership as such provides a very strong right, which is inherited then by your children or your next of kin when you die. So it's quite a strong right that you do create for yourself. It has a long-term future dimension to it. As I've indicated, the memberships, the members jointly own the cooperative. You have a share, but it's the cooperative that owns the property and the business entities and the licenses and so on. In most of the cases when a member leaves a cooperative, there is a compensation that is regulated in terms of an agreement that you sign. But there are cases where you can leave without any compensation as well. By being a member and have been a shareholder, you obviously also exercise a right to influence the management of the cooperative, and that makes you a fully-fledged partner in this whole cooperative. And within the meeting structures, then you have your say there. Obviously, there's some obligations that you need to comply with if you're a member, and most of them pay a monthly fee. I mean, there will be a single account for water consumption and tax on the property, for instance, and the members will contribute individually towards achieving the payment of that account. So the load is spread equally between the members. There are about seven principles that you can identify. The eighth principle is the one that with housing and succession actually deals with in a cooperative. Regardless of your income, if you're a member, you obtain permanent tenure rights on your own will. I mean, you can leave when you want, but if you want to live there permanently, it's a very secure environment and cannot be taken away from you. We refer to the Ubuntu concept where the community spirit is built because the members are working collectively towards achieving their goals. And what you have at the end of the day is a much closer bonded group of members than you would have had if they remained individuals. And you can imagine what the advantages of that is. I've referred to the fact that the cooperatives also build the individual members' skills. It offers an opportunity for you to participate in the management, things that you haven't done before, even maintenance of the units, the garden keeping, and therefore may open opportunities for job creation outside of the cooperative property ownership as well. Because the members contribute towards the maintenance and upkeeping of the units, costs are saved, you don't have to employ people from outside, and maintenance is done internally. So there's a lot of advantages in that regard as well. The people also better care for their units because they know as a collective this is for the future and their children may inherit it as well. So there's regular maintenance and upkeeping is done because of the collective principles that apply. It provides a positive community environment, madam. They support each other. They will fight vandalism, and people that don't behave within the complex are addressed and attended to. And they improve their environment, as I've indicated. See to it that it's a nice place to live in, and they work together to achieve that. They can also address service needs, for instance. Try to, when there's a strike by the municipal workers and there's no refuse removal, they then collectively can solve that problem. And it gives them a much stronger base from which to negotiate as well as a collective. Yeah, we've indicated that a cooperative may be established as a housing cooperative, but very soon it could also then expand to other functions and needs and have a little business, start service delivering and so on, perhaps a social benefit it may be attached to it and so on. The disadvantages currently that we are faced, Madam Chair, is I think there's a general lack of information in the environment and in the public. People have no knowledge of the opportunities that may exist. And if you do have some sort of a need, you don't know where to go to find out more. So perhaps that's one of the gaps currently. People are also not always susceptible for co-ownership. We in South Africa, I don't think, have moved to the process where everybody accepts that rental is perhaps a very secure option as well and co-ops as well. So we are still much focused on individual ownership options, and we are very suspicious about other schemes, and therefore perhaps not a lot of movement towards cooperatives at this moment in our history. As I've indicated, individuals still want their own individual property, not influenced by my neighbor or my friend next door. The other problem that we have is that the people within a co-op may not contribute in all cases at the level that is supposed to do, and that may compromise the viability of a co-op. And that perhaps also needs to be addressed. I mean, people must know in for a penny, in for a pound, that you have, you will get certain benefits, but you have certain obligations as well. In addition to the normal cooperative, we also found that there's a housing management cooperative that has been created to try and to help a cooperative to achieve its goals. So it's another layer of cooperative with different focuses and obligations, but they assist housing cooperatives, for instance, to achieve their mandates and obligations and needs. Independent housing cooperatives are formed on the basis of a single task. We would like to build housing units for our people, and therefore we form this cooperative on behalf of our members. And then the cooperative is in full control of what the level of services are and whether they would need the umbrella body to assist them and whether other services are required to assist them to achieve their goals. In regard to the exit arrangements, there are different forms and opportunities that exist. As I've indicated earlier, there are certain schemes that work on a process that if you want to leave, then you leave with nothing. But most of the time, there is a return on your initial investment for you. And that is that you can receive a percentage of the equity that you have paid into the cooperative, and it's normally governed by the constitution of the cooperative and also the agreement that you then sign, which spells out your shareholding for you. Some of the members may even get market value for their units when they leave. Let's very briefly look at what is available from the government side in regard to housing cooperatives, man. And our main program remains the social housing program. This program requires that a cooperative will have to be accredited by the Social Housing Regulating Authority that was recently created through the Social Housing Act. This institution has recently been constituted and established, the members appointed, and you must now apply for accreditation before you can access the capital funding. And it has the additional advantage that once you are accredited as an institution, cooperative, then you may also apply for the quite substantial additional capital funding for capacity building, startup funding, training, office equipment to get you going for the first 5 years. So, the first point of call would be then to establish your cooperative, and when it's doing so, you also start engaging with the Social Housing Regulating Authority. Now, obviously, the subsidy available in the social housing policy only pertains to persons earning up to 7,000 rand a month. If you fall outside of that income bracket, obviously the subsidy will not be available to the cooperative for that portion of the members that does not qualify. And I've indicated to you earlier, I think roughly speaking, the cost of the subsidy is calculated on about 60% of the development cost per unit. If you take a block of flats, estimated cost currently for a new block of flats for a bachelor unit, about 300,000 rand. The government is then paying 60% subsidy on that, which is quite substantial. But that is what we pay to make it work. And that the rest of the funding must then come from the NHFC or some donor credit. Most of the social housing in Johannesburg, which was done on scale, vastly relied on donor funding up to now. The problem with the social housing policy is that it only applies in restructuring zones, so there are specific goals. So if you're a housing cooperative, then you will have to apply within a restructuring goal to have your housing needs being satisfied there. The earmark of it is that it's very focused and it had restructuring of dilapidated areas at the target as well, and then also to remain focused on the integration principles. Now, if a cooperative is not able, or a restructuring zone is not the place where you would like to access your subsidy, then obviously your alternative would be the institutional subsidy, which is vastly less than the social housing amount. 84,000 rand, there and there about, for institutional subsidies. But it may also, in a rural context, provide you with the necessary access to the capital that you need to generate a viable co-op as well. I've indicated that I've developed a little document for you that you can take home, and I hope that all the document will also then provide you with the necessary answers with a little bit more detail in the presentation when you encounter inquiries about co-op housing. Thank you very much, madam.
Thank you very much, Mr. Salazar. Mr. Matisa, can you say something?
Yes, indeed, ma'am. There was a bit of a newcomer joined us. Just take an opportunity to introduce one of the officials. He's a Chief Director Executive Support in the Office of the DG. Tema, can you introduce yourself, please? Temba Nobatana, Chief Director. Thank you for coming. By way of emphasis, I should say, ma'am, the communication strategy, the awareness about what is available from government and how do we reach out to the people is one of the key outstanding issues which we need urgent attention from our side. There is an effort towards that. In the same breath, it is also worth noting, ma'am, that this is part of the rental and social housing, part of the outcome 8 of the presidential declaration. So it's one of the priorities in the presidential address and our outgoing program. So in the rental, this part falls within the rental and social housing. So it's actually a priority for this term of office. And lastly, whether it's an advantage, but it's very, very critical, is the SHRA, Social Housing Regulatory Authority. For this cooperative instrument to take off, it is now in our hands and in the hands of the chairperson and our principal to facilitate the amendment of the Social Housing Regulatory Authority. Because this is where this is the critical authority that is regulating and that will be responsible for entrenchment and successful rollout of this program. And maybe I should end there, ma'am, because that's my way of emphasis on the presentation made by Mr. Van der Waals on our behalf. Thank you.
I think it's Honorable Stain, after a week, Honorable Tole, Fona.
Thank you very much for this. I think it's a very important presentation share. And there are areas that I think generally all of us as members of the human segment we must really discuss. Some of them have been articulated, I think, by Mr. Matisse and also Mr. Van der Waals. That there's just the lack of information around the cooperatives in South Africa generally is a bigger problem. And that I think, because I think we spoke about this cooperative for some time. It shouldn't be something new, but it seems, if I may be allowed just to be referred to one area where these cooperatives are successful, I would really appreciate it a lot, because whether it's in Cape or whatever, but where they are very successful, cooperative in the real sense of being cooperatives, and also the engagement with the I thought that cooperatives, by their very nature, they are still including communities and also just as spirit as we are articulating. But also they are meant to assist, particularly the female-headed families in general, because they tend to be much more working together to ensure that they improve their quality of life, as women generally speak. But it seems in our own situation, cooperative are not really taking hold on, and I think they are unable to emerge and also to be something that is very encouraging, because I don't think every South African would have money to own a property and therefore joint ventures and joint efforts are much more important for us. And I think the committee, in my view, we must really push this question of the cooperative as part of your outcome aid. Because without them, in my view, we'll be unable really to address the whole issue of the migration to urban areas and also building a little bit of communities, because I think government by its very nature must build really the spirit of community as we are articulating. And I just get that share will be able then to get some of the examples where effort has been made. Because it's one thing to talk about these matters, I think. It's another thing when we implement them and learn from the actual experience. And then they assist us then to improve on some of the experiences on the ground. Since we still talk about this thing really in a very theoretical way, but no practical experience where we learn. Because I think every township, in my view, or every suburb, in my view, we should already be having some form of cooperative, in whatever form, but some form of cooperative that assists to accommodate people who can't afford, where they are free ownership rights, generate some of the issues, shared resources, and also training the people to do some of this work. I think for me, we're not really pushing this thing, I think, as a department. I'm just happy that Mr. Matisse, the point is that now as part of the outcome aid, a department is going to focus on it. And hopefully by the end of this term, we'll have more cooperatives. Right? Because I don't agree with the sense that South Africans are not interested in cooperatives. We wouldn't be interested in something that we don't know. Because if you don't know a thing, generally can't be interested. But once we are assisted by department in terms of communication, I guess we'll be very interested in this. Cooperatives. In fact, in other countries, anyway, even the higher middle class, they live in cooperatives.
Yeah.
In higher middle class, they live in cooperatives, they enjoy it. But it seems we are not really. Sometimes when you talk about people who are the real poor are there, mm-hmm. but really top of the race, sometimes they live in cooperatives. Because I think over years, government have been able to assist and educate people to understand the aims and advantages of cooperatives. Of course, there are disadvantages, I think, that have elaborated, but there are more values than advantages for people to live in this cooperative. I think it's really a challenge here that I think as a committee, when we measure the performance of our department at the end of our term, I think one matter really should be how much have we made contribution in developing cooperatives in our country. I think the housing cooperative of not funding one, I think. Those which is that development, like Joe and Sal Ketchamabala, they would deal with this matter. But many of us who are interested in this human segment, I think this is an issue that as we move to our oversight function. In fact, when we are doing our oversight function, in fact, we have not been advantaged in many provinces to see some efforts really being made to develop the cooperation. And I don't think it's a very difficult thing, because people are already organized. Right? There are ratepayers associations, there are civic structures, there are a lot of resident associations. Right? I don't think South Africa is very difficult to organize them, because they're already organized in one form or another. Then what we need really as government is to go to them, mobilize them, and assist them with education, give them some assistance. To me, really, Mr. Van der Vaart, I think that's an issue that the Director General must also be knowing the minister. That as a team, really, in terms of the implementation, I'm very happy also we have articulated a Polokwane resolution on this matter. Surely it's 2007, 2010 now. It's very clear that we are lacking in terms of pushing something that, in fact, we ourselves have captured very well in the Polokwane resolution, what we should do by 2009. And I guess that's what Chair, I wanted just to raise that issue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Richard has covered some of the issues that I wanted to raise. Thank you, Richard. I'm very curious as to examples of successful cooperatives. And In this regard, I want to also put the following question. What exactly is the difference between the what we have seen in the past with social housing cooperatives and the one that we're talking about? And perhaps I need to link that to the two types of subsidy, the social housing grant and the institutional subsidy. You could just expand on that and how they differ and what they are being used for. Then the one thing that I think has not been really addressed in this presentation, there have been a lot of the advantages, which I certainly agree with, but I think what has been described here, Chairperson, is obviously the ideal cooperative, where things go along smoothly and they work and all the members contribute and act responsibly. But we do know that very often, and perhaps through no fault of their own, there are members that default, whether it's in terms of their financial contribution or even in terms of physical contribution where there's such an agreement. And that is often the reason why these co-ops then fail. And I think we need to look closer at what sort of mechanisms can be put in place to assist somebody that falls into that situation. Because ultimately it will make the entire cooperative more successful. Then I wrote a question down here, which I think towards the end may have been addressed somewhat, but it was the opportunities that exist within the housing department for co-ops. And it's been spoken about both by the presenter as well as Richard in terms of, for example, the education side. You know, very we as supposedly informed people of what the department is about know very little. So what about the public out there and the people that should access these things? And how can both the department and us, how can we speed up this process to make this sort of information more available in a very easy sort of way for people? One other question. There was somewhere in the presentation mention is made of the restructuring zones, if I'm not mistaken, where a particular subsidy is only available where a municipality has clearly identified a restructuring zone. Now, even this, and I'm not sure they exist in all the municipalities, but even this is something that is not readily known. Whether there is one, where it is, because obviously one has to then target these cooperatives in that particular area. But if you don't know that area exists, then again, you're starting off from a base where you don't have the information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Matters well. Chair, no, I think most of questions have been asked by, but my concern was just they talk about municipality. If they would provide inland and infrastructure, but there was nothing that has been said about provinces. And I think sometimes if you can get out to the earmark, which area have do they want to start to implement this cooperative? Because if you can check the president announced on February, and Honorable Mtagane says it was a resolution from Polokwane, but even now it's not been implemented. There is a problem. So if they can fast track this implementation, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ndade Nkwata.
Chair, small one. Is you see, I want to start a cooperative. Now I live in a township. And we're a group of individuals. Now, how do we go about setting up? How do we start? Practically. Now, we are a community. We want. Now, I'm just reminded, for example, that example we saw in Alexander. No. In Kandisa. And that area where those people were put.
Oh.
In those houses. Five people were sharing a stand, no four. And only one was electrified and one was.
If you wanted to group those people and they want to set up a corporate, how would they go about doing this? That's the one. Now, my little knowledge of the Southern British cooperatives and other associations, I thought they would. The cooperatives sometimes they will be able to pull together this money and buy this thing, they own it. But here you're talking about poor communities that don't have that initial capital to actually start this project. Now how how would they go about even pulling together that? And the land question that is being raised is a very serious issue. Because we know most of the land in prime areas is privately owned. And to actually access that land is a big challenge. And the municipalities themselves are not using the releases. And they actually sell this land to the private sector before it comes back in the form of development to the community. So, I mean, whilst this is a very noble idea of cooperative, I remember when, it's probably five, six years ago, the department was busy seized with this project of cooperatives, but I've not seen really any spark out of it. Where is the blockage? What are the challenges that make us not take off the ground? Because even if you do enact or you pass an act of parliament on this thing, it's not going to, the act is not going to make it happen. There has to be a desire, you've got to quench the appetite of people to make sure that they do it, but you must facilitate the resources that enable this process to take place.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think Honorable Gautam has raised a critical question. Now, my idea is one. The department has never been clear. In fact, one would say there has been a deliberate shift from cooperatives to social housing. Why I'm saying that? If you look at the policy of 2008 of social housing, there's only one clause, it's not even a clause, one line that relates to cooperatives. If you look at the Social Housing Act itself, there's only one line that relates to cooperatives. Everything speaks to social housing. And the social housing was designed to make, to generate profit. It generates profit. It doesn't matter whether you can say it's affordable rental, but it generates profit. So I wish whenever you would we paint a new song, but it is very clear. So that is why I'm saying there was a deliberate shift. Certainly, as this portfolio committee, we do have an information that was presented before the committee that the department itself, you started to develop a policy. And then now you're calling. Now she's calling. And who CEO got social housing? Queen Medley. Now this statement that I was talking Medley last year to say they've got nothing to do with the cooperative. When they were asked a question, Queen Medley. And on top of that, when she was making the, he was making the presentation, and there is a tendency of trying to reduce the cooperative, the promoter, the social house. No, you are doing that. I feel it because you know you are doing it. You are promoting the social housing at the expense of cooperatives. And the Puruwana resolution. I don't want a resolution, just about with Dylan. And that resolution is not handy. That's Dylan Bush. This issue, if you read, it is there. Even with documents, the ruling party is ready to govern. It is there. So, he has got to do with the Tinaji, upper department is hooking now. We're hooking now. So, that is not acceptable. So the evangelical church is our color of the city. We need to ban the Pagani saying now. See, Bami, Chipal and I will appreciate you. In the Ragan HSP, Nyayas and Funiji is taking his Nina. Nyaya Namako. You know what is happening, Mr. Matis. You know exactly what is happening between NHSC and the co-op. And you still owe us a report. So you still owe us a report about that. We need it. You know, you can't have access. We go to NHSC. Law anything I'm saying, we're busy. We assist at these co-ops. Bring back report. Need calling. Need the night. We went to last meeting. He requested to go to let's call UNASIVA UNHFC. I was making a report. The day UNHFC was making a report, if we need the night, and we need this report, we need to go to Akalanini, Watini, teaching the progress, then the only challenges, is there that value during the course of that? Then you also raised in Abagashra. Yes, Mushra. I think it is important that you can say in the end of your sermon, the Ishra, the regulator, the Tokashra, he can see others as co-ops. I'm not in a good design in our family, it's called the parliament. We'll take it up. I'm not happy, guys. Because Nyayas would be a funeral of the Indian, 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 the issue. I think the issue of cooperatives, another advantage, and going with me that you have not managed what you need to pick up, they are students. Because I'm going to run about render all my 4,000, all my 5,000, all my 6,000 as going. And each cooperative are meant for that, to assist the students. So as parents, some of them are just a flat, but I'm going to run thereafter, but this happens a flat. But you are not assisting for that. You know, everybody is in a lane. So I think the restructuring zone. There's no social housing. Long as I for the focus, no social housing. But you must stop mentioning that about social housing because as I said. As soon as I'm not sure around social housing, I put social housing. There's no social housing. Social housing, we talk about the AMA members, a booty. Economy option government to buy. Why is there on the point Lemut Aikolon? There's nothing like that. But you know, you keep on pushing the cooperatives, which is going to social housing. How do you expect to take cooperatives as well as cool as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Mapisa.
We note your comments. Council. However, we may like to respond to some of the things. I'll give my colleagues a chance. Mr. Van der Waals and the team, please, can you just give inputs and value add to some of the issues, especially regarding communication, policy shifts, examples of successful housing subsidies and the blockages, and the process, the ideal process of commencing a business of a co-op. I will then summarize after you have made your input. You are not alone, Mrs. Van der Walde, I am there.
Specifically asked in the beginning when the chairperson came in whether she's in a good mood and she actually likes him. I think all the comments are very valid, and from the department side, we will take it seriously to go back and for instance, we will come back with information for you on examples where co-ops have actually embarked on housing development. We have restructured the department specifically for this purpose. We have a chief director for social and rental housing. And ma'am, just to clarify, we see cooperative housing as part of social housing. It's a way of achieving the goals that the broader social housing policy envisaged. Social housing is not a housing per definition separately from cooperative housing. It's part of it. And therefore, that subsidy instrument is also available. And that section is actually responsible for the policy and implementation, inter alia for cooperative housing then as well. So we will report back to that section and indicate all the concerns that the committee have, and then through them identify these cases of success so that the committee can take cognizance of where we have achieve something in this regard as well. The difference between the institutional subsidy instrument and social housing is actually quite simple. The institutional subsidy was developed in the early 90s as a rental provision. At that stage, the principle of equity was very fundamental. So it was aligned with the individual subsidy program. It was never specifically designed to create high-rise buildings because the subsidy was not adequate for that. And therefore, we needed the social housing policy that went far beyond the individual subsidy amount in providing capital for multi-level units. And when we introduced the social housing policy, we did not kill or terminate the institutional subsidy program because we still felt that there may be opportunities in terms of which the institutional subsidy can provide assistance where there's not high rise and these kind of developments. And having then focused the social housing program in restructuring zones, and I agree with the statement that we don't know where these restructuring zones are. We're not sure how the municipalities, whether they even did proclaim these areas, or whether it just exists in a piece of paper on a plan earmarked in a red pen in the various municipalities, and perhaps that's something that we need to address. I think it's very important to accept that the province also has a role to play, but fundamentally the municipality, in laying out the township and identifying the land needs, that they reorientate their planning towards the creation of opportunities and properties where co-ops then can access their needs or their rights. I think if a town planning area does not have a specific site specifically designed for this purpose, a co-op will find it difficult to achieve its goals. It will have to buy individual sites somehow and pull the sites together to then establish the housing need or the housing complex there. So The capacity building and reorientation program that referred to by all the members are a critical success issue. And we will really have to go back and see how we're going to do the communication strategy, how we will go about in generating momentum towards this, and also from a regulatory point of view. Provinces really have land. The land belongs mostly at municipal level, but where a province is in charge of land, the same principles will apply to the province. As I've indicated, that applies to the municipality. The issue of failure is quite an interesting one, and I think it's a critical issue as well. Because of the collected ownership, if the members don't meet their obligations, obviously the co-op will fail. And that's a serious aspect. So I think the SRA will play an important role in this regard to work out the business model to make it affordable for the people. In the first instance, the combination of non-qualifiers versus qualifiers for subsidy is also critical. You'll have to have a balance there so that the one can cross-subsidize and carry the other one when there's difficulties. We haven't, as far as I know, a strategy to deal with defaulting. to save a co-op other than the capital side, which is actually the cause of the failure then, because you can't meet your repayment requirements, that the NHFC will have some strategy deployed to, as a survival or a life leash thrown at a co-op in trouble. Perhaps we'll have to go and investigate what happened in practice up to now. I think we must also accept from the outset that Mr. Botha will not qualify for a housing subsidy in a co-op. It is my understanding that his salary is about twice as that mine. So,
it's not an issue. We are a human settlement department. We are not a housing subsidy department. Mr. Matisse, I'm sure as a policy, you have to note that. We have a human settlement portfolio. I'm not saying portfolio process as a portfolio, as a sector. So I think that point from Honorable Botha is very much important. Not referring to Mr. Botha per se, but there are other people outside there who are not MPs, but who would like to have this opportunity. And yes, last week we were dealing with a briefing session on the sectional title. And even from the side of the department, they were not sure about the sectional title, how is it operating. And when you read through this draft bill, it also mentions co-ops. All those things, they are included there. And the people from the who have got an experience of the how these sectional titles operate, they dispute that you can say those are cooperative. So we are having a challenge even in the definition of these schemes. Thank you.
Just a follow-up, the question. I think that there is the real issue that we are trying to raise also. Is that ourselves, we are deployed in constituencies. We are deployed in various constituencies throughout the country. Could we imagine really a member of a human settlement? People come to us just to get information about cooperatives. They find the very same members of parliament themselves completely out. Because as we are here, members of parliament, many of them who serve in other portfolio committees, they think that also we master what is happening in terms of cooperative, given the fact anyway that all of us, we can differ ideologically here and there. I think with Mr. Stay, you know, they want this or not, but we agree on cooperatives, which is part and parcel, is part of the tool that would assist us to address the question of homelessness in South Africa. Because the level of homelessness is very high. Therefore, we should apply our mind in all other aspects and tools that can address that. And then people, if they come to our offices, well, they come to our offices for many reasons. And then also, we do have our own areas where we are servicing. If real people, they come together, for the chair was raised, they come together to us and say, no, we want to form a cooperative. Really, even ourselves, we don't have that information. It would be absolutely very difficult for anyone really to say we are able to assist community to move. Because of the members of parliament, by their very nature, they are also communicators. They have to communicate decisions that are taken by parliament. And then if the department is not assisting us, really to be well informed on some of these issues, some of the issues we are raising them because on the ground is worse. Because even myself and Bajo, we've got little understanding of what is it really after 20 years or 16 years now. Because in Bushabelo also, the whole question of cooperatives was mentioned, although in pathway. But it was mentioned that it's part and parcel of some tools that would assist us to address the whole question of homelessness in South Africa. To me, it's a real point that it's not even ourselves, we don't know the information. We can't even assist to say, go there, do one, two, three, four, in order for you to form a cooperative. We can use our natural intelligence, but it doesn't work in the 21st century. because the natural intelligence really doesn't apply. You need to have research work that would assist us to assist people, and as we mislead them all that, and then can be really devastating thing for members of parliament to do.
There was a follow-up from
but I haven't responded to Mr. Buerta yet. I think Mr. Buerta raised very, very important aspects. Having said that he doesn't qualify for a subject, I think we must realize that the sustainability model of a co-op will depend on the combination of qualifiers and non-qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And perhaps Mr. Buerta must get involved in one of these co-ops so that it can work.
You want to get involved, so we
can
subsidize.
I think it's important that from the department side there's also very little to offer, and I think we must accept that. If you want to establish a co-op, you will have to go to the National Cooperative Association to find out the details and start your process there. First of all, you will have to gather interest in your idea or concept at your community level. But once the people have gathered, they would need some assistance. And that's where the social housing technical organizations must come and assist us and come to the fore. But I think linked to that, the department also will have to develop perhaps an information pack, even for the committee, so that you are able then to negotiate and entertain questions on this issue from an informed basis. So I take the points that Mr. Buerta made very seriously. And I think we will have to come forward with some sort of a assistance toolkit for you. Perhaps Mr. Buerta would follow up.
Yes, I do indeed. My point really is that if you look at the informal settlement in many of the areas, you actually have illegal landlords that own, quote unquote, land, allocate sites, and collect rent. Already you have some form of, call it a cooperative, but it's not quite a cooperative. That's where many Mr. Borders fit into that. Because the owners of those are not the informal settlers. They are people living somewhere else in an upmarket area who are illegally occupying that land setting. Now, if you were, for argument's sake, take that same land and put up proper formal houses and make the people who are paying rent actually pay towards their own investment in these areas, you would actually attract more, make this more viable than it is now. Because that money is not an investment. And if you look at some of these informal settlements, people are paying close to 1,000 rand for a small little cubicle. So I'm saying there has to be some creativity in the way in which. Secondly, the point that the chair raises, when we talk about the sectional titles and what is it, for me, it's important to also relate whatever you're proposing to these sectional title bills that are coming up. For example, at the moment, you pay levies in a sectional title. But you also pay rates and taxes to the council separately. Now, previously, people living in sectional titles, they were paying levies, everything, it was once in the body cooperative. They never stopped reducing those levies. Actually, the levies remained the same. They then said, no, you go, in addition to that, go and pay your rates and taxes, which were actually based on the evaluation of those properties, over and above the board. So the body companies are very rich, actually, in that respect. But they raise the issue. When you default, the body corporate has no control over how to make sure that you pay, and yet they still have to maintain the building, the environment, and all of these. Now, these are more wealthier people in that environment. Now, translate that to the poor who are going to live in these areas with these kids.
if there is no arrangement, I like what you are saying, the cross-subsidization and so forth, but you still have to manage this very tightly. Because if you want to say simply people, if they default, there's nothing you can do, because the body corporate itself, in this, the cooperative in this respect, would either have to take responsibility for that asset as a collective and pay rate. I think the proposal, one of the proposals in that section title is that some of the comments that people are saying, let the body corporate go, let's go back to the original of the body corporate collecting both rates and taxes and the levies and pay, because otherwise they take collective responsibility for that. Now, those are things that I think, I mean, I know these are details, but for me, for the sustainability of a cooperative, you have to address some of these issues, because it would be very nice to have a very beautiful act. If you don't manage the details, these become slum areas, and these schemes will just die.
Thank you, ma'am. Once again, a very valid comments. I just want to go back to your comments, Chairperson. I think we must make a very distinct difference, differentiate between sectional title and co-opted. Two different issues. Sectional title is not cooperative housing. For sectional title, the individuals own property in their names and they can sell it. In a co-op, that's not the case. The cooperative owns the property. You are a member, and therefore you are a shareholder, and in return, you have an occupation right, which you can leave when, at any time, or which you can hold on, and which you can transfer to your children when you die, and so on. So there are two different issues. In the sectional title thing, what happened is, because the body corporate was responsible for the taxes, if a member or a individual owner in a body corporate situation, sectional title, defaults, then the whole complex is compromised. And what we try to change with the Act is to say that the individuals must be liable for the rates and taxes in a sectional title arrangement, so that the municipality go and attach an individual unit and not compromise the whole sustainability of a complex. And that's what the changes was that was brought about in the legislation of the sectional title schemes. But we are right in saying that if the members are not playing their part and are not paying the money due, that the whole cooperative could fail. And the failure lies not only in the maintenance side of it, but in the credit side. That's the whole biggest danger, because they will have to access additional funding, because we're not paying the full subsidy. And perhaps you could go and argue that when it's an institutional environment and cheap, that they can build their units from the subsidy amount solely and don't access credit, and that may be a more viable option to follow. But it will not apply in all cases, so it's something that we will have to address. That is an open issue at the moment. Thanks, ma'am.
Ma'am, I think also as a department, somewhere we must take responsibility and endeavor to correct ourselves going forward. The remarks of the CEO of Social Housing Foundation, even if I was not there, I think it's worth revisiting from the department side and maybe putting the record straight as far as possible. I will take that to the DG, and in our next presentation, we should have an answer towards that. It was quite unfortunate, in my view. And then I'm also aware that the Director General hasn't announced, however, I know that we are dealing with the turnaround strategy of the department. And we, as a team that is here today, we take this message and make sure that it is addressed within the turnaround strategy of the department. We have a new Director General and a new COO, and they have endeavored to put together. It's an in-house thing, but it's going to be a turnaround strategy, a vision of a new leader. I think this way it's going to happen very soon, but we'll let the department know. But what we are saying to you now is that this team will make sure that in whatever developments are happening within the department, we will prioritize this cooperative and we'll endeavor to put all these questions and address them with the agency that they deserve. For instance, we don't have an ideal or a response to what is the successful cooperative model. And we cannot put it to you, we'll be at least, because we do not have that information concrete. So we need to go back and come back with a response to such questions. And maybe that will also shape our strategies going forward. How to start a co-op? We will. I think it's our way of work. We have always tried to come with a simplified manual. We have tried, and then I think in this instance, we'll put it in the work of our policy in our control to make sure that we have a working manual which we can fact check. We may come with limited copies so that we are functional, and then we increase as the budget increases, we can then develop that, and then we have a website, we can make this information available. We have this in the housing code written in long-winded language. We are just going to summarize and put it in a format that is plausible to anybody in the handout that is workable. And we have noted all the we do not have all the responses. We are also learning. We shouldn't, but we have research capacity to respond, but we are also learning in the process, and we have benefited from the some of the comments, in fact, all the comments that have been put to us. And we have a homework, and we will, I have also noted that maybe we also need to build a capacity within the department so that we have more capacity to be responsive and be able to reach the country as a whole. There may be some need for the focus, not only for the municipalities or the provinces, the national itself, including the SHRA, we need to build some capacity there, or just to focus on issues we are aware of the illegal landlords and our new colleagues that have joined us. We'll endeavor to accommodate them and the illegal informal settlement instructor. We acknowledge that they are here.
So their visit was not in vain. We now know that they we didn't know the policy. I don't know whether my colleagues have some questions that we can obtain. I'm saying we have not responded to all the questions.
Yeah.
But we will come back. Most of the questions that are straightforward, we'll come back in the next one. We'll have to wait for the next
question.
Including the NHFC report.
I was hearing this thing. I think the leadership work from the ETMK, the Bajo and the what they call the line chairperson. Where people are in fact was a very strange one. If you have a Department of Education that doesn't know how many schools are interested in reform. Because then if you don't even know how many schools you have, you wouldn't know how many students are interested in reform. And I just guess that also the department, even if you are not necessarily the people who run it, but I guess that would have a general picture how many cooperatives you are having. Otherwise, it doesn't take us anywhere. Given the fact that some of the matters are national, they are concurrent matters, but housing is national, the human settlement is national. And in terms of norms and standards and all other matters. But really, I think it would be important for us, Mr. Mapisa, sometimes, whoever deals with this thing, just Mr. Van der Vaart, even ourselves, just to know that we do have 20 cooperative, housing cooperatives in South Africa. Five of them are working very well. Some are collapsing. But also, it's not just that one. You will tell us that 55 of them are run by youth. And then, because there's a bigger problem, really, for young people in South Africa, not just in South Africa. If you follow what is happening in Mexico right now about the conference on young people, the question of unemployment among the young people throughout the world, particularly in South Africa as well. Therefore, these cooperatives, they are not just meant for accommodation only, but also they create some economic activities for people. Therefore, because they do that, they also address some of the problems. And then I do think that the group, the women cooperatives in housing, I think it's important that we do that. And also, just information will assist us really, because without this information, it's very difficult even to measure whether we are making an impact on this matter, whether we are sending it. Because departments, by their very nature, is a bureaucrats, by their very nature, anywhere in the world, generally, they will give you files and files of papers. But there's nothing really there, generally, in terms of stuff that sometimes bureaucrats are very good in doing that information. I think they will give us thousands of information. But really, I think as members, what we are much more interested on is the practical experience. The practical experience where we can go ourselves and say, this is really doing well. We think the women in this area, and I think they're doing well on this matter. Because I do think that if we don't do that, I think the rural development, that is rural, agrarian and rural development department, they're also concerned about the very similar thing anyway. That's why some of the bills, I think we are sharing with them, and then the two other bills are sharing with them. Because they have vested interest in cooperatives in terms of agriculture at this point in time. Mm. But surely, they will also come to housing, because in rural areas, surely, they will do small towns. That small towns will don't be somewhere from the back. That I think also they need a lot of assistance in dealing with these cooperatives. But because I'm not sure why the Canadian one, Mr. Van der Vaart, I think we have done a lot of research. The Scandinavian and Canadian one are very successful. Maybe the country is successful economically, I don't know. But even in China, nowadays, in fact, they are dealing with the cooperatives themselves. From cooperatives of 1950s, I think they failed here and there. But I guess that now they're also concentrating, because I think they have some are very successful cooperatives. I don't think really South African we should take a view that these things, I think that was the view anyway, that department, without pronouncing it, I think the point that Chair was raised, without explicitly pronouncing on this mark, you simply downplay all these things, because we thought that is nuisance, it's creating a problem, we're going to take time, then we must go for the easiest thing. Because some of the resources that we have really put on the houses that we are having in the bar and everywhere, if we raise some of the resources we have concentrated in terms of cooperative, because people tend to be very possessive of this cooperative, because they gender new spirit. They gender new spirit, I think the Ubuntu spirit that Mr. Van der Vaart was talking about. I think really we must really try to push this matter. And I know that it's very easy sometimes to neglect this thing. Members will come and go anyway. We are here after our term, we are gone. New other members come in, okay, you give them the same information that we're giving to us. You give them the same information. You just buy time. You know that these friends, they won't come back in 2014, and then the coming one, they would know all these matters. You take them through again. Same thing for. To me, it's a bigger problem, really, I think, that we are doing. Because it's not assisting us to deal with the challenge that is facing our people on the ground. And then to me, I think, Chair, really, that's why I think the department, the minister, ourselves, and the department, we must agree. What are the five critical areas that will measure the performance of the department? Or if a member, voter says, we think the Department of Human Settlement in South Africa has performed. These are critical five areas that would have real impact in turning around the society. Because if really we are everywhere under the sun, I don't think we'll be able really to make an impact. That's why bureaucracy is very easy then to wait for this friend to be redeployed. When comes in again, I don't think 2014 will be there. And then new members will come in and you will take them through again. We have tried, this thing doesn't work. I think to me the bigger problem is the Van der Vaart. I think you are preparing already for 2015 now. What you are going to be telling them as they come. And then surely you send a date only. I just can't share that we have to sit down. That is my appeal here. That we have to sit down, ourselves, the chairs, the chief, and the minister. We agree that as a committee, we are going to oversee these critical areas. Cooperatives will be one of that area, I can. Therefore, it will be easy for us really to make an impact in this society, to turn around some of these issues. I think that would be my appeal. I think we are doing well. I think 2024, 2025.
Well, today is not the chairperson, Mr. Not the chairperson today. Thank you very much, Honorable Members and the Department, but I think it was very, very, very valuable, the information that we received from the Department. And we... I think, Mr. Matisa, we need this report. More or less, we want the donors. Because you are accountable as a department to these donor funds. And as the portfolio committee, we have a responsibility because we adopt those treaties that are signed between the department and the and this council. So we need to take a collective responsibility because I understand that there are problems with of accountability. And these countries, sometimes they will reverse their support because of irresponsibility and not being accountable for the funds that are utilized. So we need a report because you have committed yourself in this report on page 4, that we have got the support in South Africa of cooperatives from these various countries. We need to get a full information about this. And the rest. And I think the issue that was raised by the with on the best practice countries, we need to have that information. We do have our own researchers. We know that there are countries that have got 10 million. Of these cooperatives, but we need an information by the department so that we can also check where we can learn as the portfolio committee. And I want to check the relationship between yourselves and the South African Housing Cooperative Association, because I think it is important that you have constant link with that structure. In my opinion, as you did with Social Housing Foundation. I think it is important for me to have constant links, because most of you do your research, but most of the information you can get from these people, or especially about the cooperatives. We know that there are cooperatives in Eastern Cape, but we were there, 11 of them, but they were never reported to us. We got that information later on when we were from Eastern Cape. That Eastern Cape has got 11, Gauteng has got so many, and Western Cape, I mean, even in Western Cape, there are cooperatives. But your problem, come down to the people. You have to come down to the people. As the policy, you are responsible for the policy. Talk to people. Talk to the people who are responsible, who are at least trying to put the program that you pick up. In relationship, you know, now, you are just shifting these people away. You are shifting them away, and that is not right. That is not right. As government, that is not right. I think we'll come to the end of the meeting. We thank you very much And I think we've addressed a critical point that we're going to have. In fact, we're going to write a letter to the minister, give him our proposal of the critical area that we would like the department to look at in these 2 years, not 3 years, 2 years, because by the third year, everything must be completed. Thank you very much.
Promise us that there is a case, so there is a case.